Well, today in our passage, we're going to look at the last words of Jesus. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to John chapter 12, and we're going to finish out chapter 12. And we're going to look at the last seven verses, only seven verses in this section. We're going to see, remember last week, Jesus was doing miracles. Jesus was coming in. He was saying some things, and then there were people. And one of the verses that really bothered me was it said, there were many that believed him, but for fear of the religious leaders, they backed off from him. And we talked about, are we in fear of man? Are we in fear of God? Because you need to make that distinction. You know, are we afraid of what people will think, what people will say? Because that's what it appeared to be last week. Mankind, in all its sinfulness, we have been hard of heart. We've rejected Christ again and again and again. The hardness of heart which leads the Jewish leaders to even seek Christ's death. It's like they don't want to give up their power. They see the signs, they see the miracles, and some even recognize it and say, like, you know, if he's from God, we can't stop him. But if he's not from God, he's going to go away. And they said, no, if we don't stop him, then Rome is going to intervene and everybody loses. So we see in his final words here some great theology. And again, chapter 12 in John is so rich all the way through with Jesus telling us who he is. So again, the passage today is entirely Jesus speaking. This is Jesus talking, and it begins with him crying out. And what he says in this public teaching is very important. And when it says that he cries out, the word means it emotionally he is crying out. And he's like almost putting a stamp on, guys, get it. You got to get it. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 12, and I'm going to start in verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me himself has given me a commandment, what to say, what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Jesus and the Father are one. All the way through John is trying to get people to see that this Messiah is God. We have a lot of people that are different religions and branches say, like, well, no, you know, you got God the Father, and he is the only God, and God is one, and they throw the verse in from Exodus. I am the Lord your God. The God is one. The Shema in Israel is so important. The Father is one. But then Jesus, how do you reconcile this in John chapter 1, where it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? So in John, he's trying to tell us that there's this triune nature of God, that there is God the Father, who is connected to God the Son, who is connected to God the Holy Spirit, and all three work in unison. We don't worship three separate gods. We worship the Godhead, the Trinity, and that's a stumbling block for many religions. We put our hope and our faith in Jesus. Why? Because it says, through him and by him all things were made, and nothing was made that was not made through him. And so the Father is saying, this is my Son whom I love, and I'm so pleased with him. And Jesus is saying, this is my Father, and it doesn't get any better than this. And the Holy Spirit is pointing us to all of that. And so they work in unison. And so Jesus is telling us that he and the Father are one. Verse 44 and 45 says this, and Jesus cried out, and said, he cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. If you see me, you've seen God. In fact, some of the other disciples are saying like to him later on, saying like, well, who show us God? And he goes, I have been with you this time. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? In Colossians, Paul says this, says, Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the image of the invisible God. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this, that Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So when they see Jesus, they see God. You want to know what the Father is like? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. If you want to behold the glory of God, you have got to behold Jesus. John 1 verse 14 and verse 18, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Do you see that? No one has seen the face of God. No one has ever seen God. The only God that they have seen is the one sitting at God's right hand right now, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's sitting there interceding on our behalf. So Jesus and the Father are one. That's important, but let's look at something else. Jesus did not come into the world to judge the world or condemn the world. Now, there are many verses that say he's coming back to judge. He will judge the quick and the dead, or those that are alive and those that died. There, you know, in the Lamb's book of life, you know, is our name written there. He's going to come back and judge. But the first time he did not come to judge, he came to save. We were already under judgment. Because of sin, we were outcast. Because of sin, we deserve death. The wages of sin is death. And so he didn't come to judge. We were already judged. And so he came to give us life and to save us from ourselves. This is what it says in verse 46 and 47. I have come into the world as light. In other words, you've been walking in darkness, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my word and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come into the world to judge the world. Think about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have life eternal. But what about John 3:17? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So we all memorize John 16, but we need to start memorizing John 17. Jesus calls us out of darkness into this marvelous light. And this light is the fellowship with God the Father. It's been restored. It's been redeemed. It's a life of holiness lived for his glory. And he says, whoever believes in him will not remain in darkness. He says that whoever believes is not to remain in this darkness. We're not to go back to the way we were before. Our lives should be about Jesus, the one who came to bring us out of the darkness. And again, I say this, I've said this before from the pulpit, I've said this on Wednesday nights. We want Jesus to be our Savior. When I was younger and going to the youth ranch and going to church, and sometimes, you know, when your girlfriend was at the Baptist church, you'd go to the Baptist church, and if you just went to anything at the Baptist church, all of a sudden you were a member and started getting phone calls. And, you know, so I was a member of maybe four or five different Baptist churches all at one time. Not because I had four or five girlfriends, trust me, it was just go. But when you go, you know, it's kind of like they would take you out in the hall and say, if you died tonight, you know where you're going to go? It's like, home? It's like, no. If you died tonight, you're either going to go to heaven or hell. Well, no one wants to go to hell. I'm going to take a quiz. Anybody here want to go to hell? No, okay. See, all of us want to live. We want to go to heaven. And so it's like, I don't want to go to hell. And so what happens is, okay, well, get on your knees. And I want you to say these four little things right here. Just follow this Roman road. And all of a sudden you're saved. Woohoo. You know how many times I walked back and forth down an aisle getting saved? Probably 30 times. Because I just, you know, I wanted to make sure it took. Because I was worshiping the God of my parents, you know. This is what we did. You went to church. You went to Sunday school. You put the little felt pieces on the felt board. Oh, there's Noah. Look at Moses, you know. And you knew all the stories. But Jesus wasn't real. It was just an idea out there. So when Jesus became real, he became my Savior. And it's not to save me from going to hell. It's to give me life and to restore me with the Father. And so everybody wants a Savior, but how many of you want a Lord? How many of you want to follow somebody to say, like, I have to humbly submit to you, to your will. When you say do this, I need to do that. You know, we want a Savior. None of us want to go to hell, but we don't want a Lord. You know? And Jesus is saying you have to have both. You have to have Savior. And to get the Savior part, you have to honor me as Lord. And we become his. Many people today who claim to be Christ followers, I think, are apathetic towards God at best. I've seen it. I recognize we all go through different seasons in our life where we can give more or less time to disciplines, you know, of Bible study and prayer and different things like that. And I know we go through different seasons, and some seasons when we're down in the valley and we feel like our prayers are just not going anywhere, or God's not listening, or I don't know what's going on. God, are you there? And I know we go through those seasons. But I look at our society as a whole, and I see this apathetic, almost to the point of we dare God. We dare God. You look at the TV shows that we watch and how his name is taken in vain a lot, or the situations happen, or there is no God. When I started doing chaplaincy for Sacred Journey, one of my places that we had to go was to the Henry General, or Piedmont Henry. And more and more, we saw more people checking that nun. Like, what religion are you? Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, SDA, you know, Mormon, what are you? It's like none. And we see more and more that God is not in the lives of many people. And so our society is apathetic at best. You know, I can't believe you're saying those things. I can't believe that you're just kind of putting God in a box, because God's going to come back one day. He's going to set this place on fire. And so my heart breaks when I see how we just kind of don't give God his due as our Lord. We must believe in the person and the work of Jesus, that he is who he says he is. He has done what he said he did, and he will do what he says he will do. We have to fight sin. We have to pursue holiness, because he is coming back. And I think the third thing is, in our story today, is God's commandment. Verse 49, it says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say, what to speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say, the Father has told me." Notice how Jesus doesn't only speak of the word, he speaks the word, and he focuses on this idea of commandment, that what I am saying is coming from the Father. You know, when I grew up, there were some Bibles that had the words of Jesus were in red, the red letter Bible, you know. And really, the word of God should start in Genesis 1:1, go all the way through Revelation, and it should all be in red, because it was all not just the words of Christ, but it's the words about Christ. Everything. From the fall in Genesis, well, what does that have to do with it? Because after the fall, or during the fall, there was already a plan in place to redeem us, and that was Christ, Jesus. Notice how Jesus, again, doesn't only speak of the word, but he focuses on who he is and who gives him this authority. We're getting ready to enter into Advent next week, and so we've got the first Sunday of Advent. So, you know, are we going to keep going through John? Are we going to stop and go back to the beginning of John or Luke and just kind of talk about, okay, now, you know, there's a light coming into the world. There's hope, there's joy, there's peace, there's love. You know, are we going to do that? Because the people that only show up during Christmas and Easter, they hear the same four sermons every year. And they think like, wow, man, he's preaching the same thing. So we're probably going to keep going through. Well, you look at the first, what's happening in John chapter 13. Well, what happens? It says that the devil enters into Judas Iscariot. How are you going to make that Christmas? What's in your stocking, you know, Judas? So you can't. But I don't think we have to. Because all of this is about the coming of Christ. All of this is about what he's doing for us. All of this. And so when he takes on the role of a servant, he is showing us that he is doing that because he knows who he is, what his role is, what he is supposed to do, because it came from the Father. And even the words that he speaks comes from the Father. Jesus wants us to know him, to love him, to live for him, and to live with him forever. He loves us that much. And so at the beginning of our passage today, it says, and Jesus cried out. How many of us are crying out for Christ? How many of us are crying out to people that need to know him, people that need to hear from him? In the final words of his public ministry, he's showing us his hopes and his heart for his people. He's calling us to believe rightly, to believe and to receive and to keep his word. He's trying to bring us into eternal life, to forget the fear of the people and to move on. The world was already in a state of condemnation. He didn't come to put us under any more condemnation. He came to save us from ourselves. And salvation only comes through the word of God. God's word is eternal life, and nothing else gives us eternal life. Let's pray.